This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny kicking off just after 1. Welcome in. We're with you until 2, Chad Dukes versus the world at that time. Right now, we want to get you the latest on fantasy football. You just heard Byron telling you about tonight's Thursday night matchup. Hopefully, you don't have many guys going because this could be an ugly offensive game.
Has there ever been a 2-0 game in the league?
Ravens, Dolphins, no Jay Cutler. But Matt Moore actually looked like he might be a little upgrade over Jay Cutler when he came into the game in the second half this past week. Our buddy Andy Behrens of Yahoo Sports joins us now. Jarvis Landry jumps out at me as a must play in this game. Jay Ajayi probably still is, although he hadn't run the ball that effectively. But Andy, who else on the Ravens and the Dolphins is a do not hesitate, you've got to have them in your lineup if they're on the field option?
Well, listen, players on both sides of this thing and players generally on Thursday night all deserve some hesitation, right? I mean, we're not talking about elite offenses here. Joe Flacco can't seem to average even 5 yards per attempt lately. So there's not much that I'm touching on the Baltimore side. You can play. I mean, this is a really messy bye week is the thing. There's 6 teams on bye, so you're going to have to play some people on Thursday night. I'm probably playing Buck Allen, not without hesitation. There's not a great deal of enthusiasm there. I don't want anything to do with any of the receivers on the Baltimore side. I don't want anything to do with Flacco. With Miami, it's kind of fun. Like, Matt Moore was, well, I hesitate to say good, but he directed the offense just as well as Ryan Tannehill did last year, and I expect him to be able to direct it as well or better than Jay Cutler. He has really good receivers at his disposal, right? It's not just Landry. I'd start Kenny Stills tonight as well. Again, there's only 26 teams in action this week. It's not a normal week. Kenny Stills for me is ranked right now as a top 24 wide receiver. I think especially with Devontae Parker either not playing or limited, Stills is going to get a lot of burn, and he's got a great shot at scoring this game's lone offensive touchdown.
Andy, you mentioned the bye weeks. I've been in bye week hell before. I'm in something that Dante wrote about elaborately. Like, I'm beyond the seven circles, dude. I am in the pits of Carcoon. The all-powerful and almighty Sarlacc is devouring me over 1,000 years right now. Give me somebody and other guys out there in bye week Hades, a couple names that may be fill-ins this week that you can get by with, hopefully, with a little bit of upside.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. This is about as bad as it gets. We have some really good offenses that are on bye this week as well. I have teams where I'm making really unfortunate drops because you have to, right? You have to sketch in a starting roster. You have to at least play for the win. Guys I like off the wire this week, we already mentioned Kenny Stills. He's available in a ton of leagues. I like the Raiders backs this week because Marshawn Lynch is suspended. He's serving that one-game suspension. They've got a pair of players there, Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington, probably going to split the touches relatively evenly. We saw Washington on the field in a goal-to-go situation last week, and he converted. Jalen Richard is simply one of the most elusive runners in the game, and I think for a week, even in a difficult matchup against Buffalo, those two guys are going to get interesting. Both have to be owned for the week. Deion Lewis was curiously available in most Yahoo leagues entering the week. He was about 30% owned. He's taken over as the guy who's, well, you know, he's not a full workload guy, but he's the head of the committee for New England. I saw the most snaps, the most touches, the most yards last week, so he's got to play. And I would say that, you know, you won't feel that great tying yourself to Josh McCown, but the Jets receivers can help you. They get a pretty friendly matchup with Atlanta. At least it's not anything that should scare you off. Jeremy Curley's out there in a ton of leagues. Curse is out there in a ton of leagues. We still got Austin Sferry and Jenkins kicking around out there in a handful of smaller leagues. So the Jets can be your friends, at least for a bye.
Yeah, I have a couple of those Jets receivers in leagues, and I feel like the weeks where I play them, they kill me. The weeks where I don't, they catch a touchdown or two, and that's just how it's been. What about Tarik Cohen? Should I now just think that early this season was a complete fluke and this is what he's going to be, where he might catch a couple balls and he's not really going to make an impact?
I got to say, I say this as a Bears fan, I'm shocked at his usage. Early in the season, I thought, well, okay, the genie's out of the bottle. There's no way there's no way he's ever going to not have a featured role for Chicago. And now we have a rookie quarterback who they clearly don't even trust to throw the ball at all, right? He attempted 7 passes last week, and it was something like 16 the week before. So they don't want to put any portion of the game on Mitch Trubisky. But I had thought that you would get Trubisky a bunch of easy yards to Tariq Cohen, right? Short, quick completions, high percentage throws to your only dynamic playmaker, right? And they just have not done it. Caught one ball last week, but it went for 70 yards. So, no, I don't think you can count on him getting 10 touches anymore. I don't know why they're playing that way. It seems to me like you should have a lot of short stuff to Tariq Cohen in the playbook. They haven't done it. So, no, he's basically a dice roll at this point.
Andy, any more Amari Cooper type situations? And I guess what I mean is guys that we were high on that have underachieved that still may break out and live up to some of their potential, maybe that you're targeting in trade, or, you know, obviously if they're in the free agent wire, they'd probably be scooped up by now. But the guys you have stashed, who do you have faith in that's going to bounce back here over the next 5, 6, 7 weeks?
Yeah, Amari Cooper was a pretty obvious buy low. I would say even more so. And I can tell you this because I see people's tweets that express hesitation about Julio Jones. Julio Jones is a guy that you can buy right now, and he's still the most physically talented receiver in the NFL, right? Almost anybody who's on a buy is a buy low opportunity, right? Especially if it's the team that owns him is 4-3, 3-4, they're scrapping for a playoff berth. But I would say by far of all the big names right now, Julio Jones is the guy. He's available everywhere he's owned.
I was looking at the Yahoo breakdown of potential busts where you and Scott and Brad get together and put together your list. They went with T.Y. Hilton and Doug Martin. I liked yours a lot, though, based on the matchup. You got a Texans receiver as a guy maybe in DFS to avoid this week.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because DeAndre Hopkins has seen just a million targets this year. He's averaging 12 targets per week. Really tricky matchup, though, against presumably he's going to see Richard Sherman all day against Seattle. Certainly we know that Deshaun Watson is a very good quarterback, clearly the class of this rookie crop. But this is just a brutal matchup for Hopkins. You can maybe make some hay with Will Fuller. He might have opportunities. We might see some opportunities for Ryan Griffin. But I would say this is a week that you don't want to mess with Hopkins going up against Sherman.
Any running back situations you're monitoring closely? You gave us Alfred Morris, who I've got stashed in a couple leagues, just waiting on whatever the hell happens with the Ezekiel Elliott case and then the rival case, then the injunction case, and then the case against the case and whatever. But anybody else, any other situations that you're going, it's only a matter of time until blank gets his, and then he'll be one of those guys that wins a title?
Yeah, I mean, this one's just the worst, right? Fantasy-wise, you just would have wanted Zeke Elliott to take the suspension. I mean, whatever. The fantasy angle is the smallest possible part of that story. But, man, just serve your suspension so we can for sure have you in December when we absolutely need you both. That one drives me crazy. That's the biggest one. Like, McFadden and Morris still need to be owned almost everywhere, and it was really easy to cut them this week. I've seen Orleans Darkwa get cut in a ton of Yahoo leagues this week again because it's a difficult buy. He's probably the featured runner for the New York Giants, for whatever that means, right? It's not a high-yield offense, but he is a guy who's going to see plenty of games with 15, 16, 17 touches. That's a guy I'm pretty interested in. To my eye, he's a much better runner than Wayne Gallman, so Darkwa is a guy that I would look to add. And I'm not going to go so far as to call him a league winner, but I am pretty interested in McKissick in Seattle. C.J. Precise cannot stay healthy. There's a real opportunity for McKissick to take over as that passing down back and be a again, not a league winner, but maybe the occasional week winner for you in PPR format.
For people hanging on to Jordan Matthews, can they cut bait now?
Yeah, and he's healthy, too. That's the thing. He's healthy. He's barely targeted. The thing about Buffalo's offense generally is they aren't looking to throw the ball. That is still a Shady McCoy-centered offense. Nobody's going to see 10 targets in any given week. I mean, it's admirable that Matthews came back and played through the thumb injury, but he's still wearing something over that thumb. He's still compromised. I wish it was an offense that wanted to throw the ball 35, 40, 45 times a game, but it's just not. So there's no chance for Matthews to emerge as an every-week receiver.
Andy, you're every week for us, man. Always a must-start. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time.
Really appreciate it. Good luck this week, everybody.
See you, pal.
Andy Behrens of Yahoo Sports on Grant and Danny.
What with the cheesy line there at the end?
You yeah,
like
you
it?
Did.
Did you like it? I got a smile from a couple people. Thom gave me a blank stare.
Oh, always a must start. I half cringed and half smiled. It was cute, though.
I went for it.
That was good.
I'm not ashamed. Listen, it's high queso.
If you do it with conviction, it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's eye-rolling. That's kind of what we're going for.
Let's preview Thursday Night Football. Let's get into some of the matchups of the weekend we like next. We'll go
some
around the NFL.
Ones.
Grant and Dan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.